Welcome to the Financial Power Hour with the financial prosperity coach, Christopher Music, who has been a featured guest on CBS, NBC, ABC, and Fox affiliates, sharing his 20-plus years of experience in financial principles and how to apply them to your life and business. And now, your host, Christopher Music.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Financial Power Hour here on AM 1380, The Biz. I'm your host, Christopher Music, and I am the creator of the Private Practice Millionaire, which is a program designed specifically for private practice owners, like healthcare professionals, financial professionals, and so on, who own their own businesses. But of course, you know, the ideas we cover on the show are applicable to really everyone in small business. And I'm a champion of the small business because, of course, it is the backbone of this great country, and it is the vessel by which most of our dreams and goals are achieved, as far as our lifestyle and as far as those things we really want to accomplish in life. So I'm here to help you with resources, with experts, with knowledge to assist you in achieving those goals with a lot less effort of mistakes. And you know what I'm talking about, that school of hard knocks. That's a tough way to go. I've done it, and any small business owner has had that particular experience. So today, we're going to be talking about information technology. Now, why in the world would we talk about information technology on a financial planning show? Well, those of you who know me know that I'm an extremely atypical financial advisor. Yes, I've studied tens of thousands of hours of the material. I did the curriculum for the Certified Financial Planner designation. I have a master's degree in business administration. All of these great things. But what I discovered was that the standard methods by which financial planning is delivered in society today is inadequate. It does not get predictable, consistent results as in a science. So I had to reinvent the subject to become a results-based system that I call econologics. Now, what is econologics? Econologics is actually derived from the ancient Greek. First definition of economy in the 1953 Oxford English Dictionary is the management of a household. If you look at modern dictionaries, you will not find that definition. But yet, when Xenophon, back in ancient Greece, wrote the book Oikonomikos, which was a conversation between Aristotle and Christobulus, Aristotle being the philosopher and Christobulus being a farmer, they try to figure out how, how to get the best results of production and consumption out of that farm. And that's what that book was about. So economy, derivation, oikonomos, means management of a household. Logi means study of and practice, and ecos means practices and skills. So econologics is literally the study and the practices and skills of the financial management of a household. Now, of course, we cover things like asset protection and tax mitigation and investment management and policy, all of these things, debt elimination, estate planning. Of course, all those systems have to be in place in your household. But where does the income come from? Financial planning is a lot more than, gee, let's see how much money you have and see how we can derive income from it for the rest of your life. That's a little piece and part of it. But as a small business owner, how in the world do you maximize the risk and return equation of the largest and most risky asset you own, your small business or your professional practice? And that is the missing element in personal financial planning for business owners. You see, if we don't maximize the value of that practice, its income, its profitability, and mitigate the risk in that business, two things happen. Number one, we do not get the results of our effort. It gets taken away in lack of profitability and overwhelm and extreme effort. But more importantly than that, everybody retires someday, whether you want to or not. And that business is either going to have value to somebody else or it's not. And the problem is most people don't build a business to sell. I'm telling you, I built a business. I sold it, 14 years ago now, for twice the average market value because I built it with the intention to sell it someday. And I got a reward for that of time to be able to do other things. So I want that for you as well. Now, one of the functions of business is, of course, marketing. It is, of course, sales, handling your finances, strategic planning, handling personnel. But let's look at information technology. You know, in an information age, technology is a double-edged sword. When it works, it is awesome. And when it doesn't work, it destroys us, doesn't it? So we're going to be looking at the importance of information technology as it relates to the viability of your business. Of course, in today's internet age, look how much business is done online. I mean, most of you are downloading this podcast, for those of you who are not hearing it live on the radio, from an internet source, a podcast channel, or some social media post. Those of you who are listening to it live, maybe listening to it on your desktop, on the website. So this permeates every aspect of our lives. So we really have to understand the basics, the standards by which we build information technology in our business. If we don't do that, man, it is a hard road to hoe. So we're going to be talking with Joseph Axne, who is a founder of the IT Guru. And we're going to be talking with him today about helping take the complexity out of IT and what technology you need to succeed as a business owner. So as we go to the break here, I want you to really think about the importance of information technology. Obviously, it's very complex. We need these guys to help us figure out what to do, but to simplify life so that we can really get down to business. So we're going to take a quick break, and up next, we're going to be talking with my special guest, IT expert Joseph Axne, who will be giving you his insight and expertise on how technology will help you in your business and create smooth operations. You don't want to miss it. We'll be right back. If you're a business owner, ask yourself this question. Do you know how to avoid the common money mistakes slowing down operations and growth? Are you confident with great certainty that you're in control of all financial decisions? Are you running your business with the know-how to achieve financial prosperity? So what is financial prosperity, and how do you really know if you're there? Your first clue that you're not is spending more time dealing with financial worries than growing your business. I'm Christopher Music, and I have a solution for you. I have researched and codified 21 laws of financial prosperity for private practice owners from a study of 5,000 years of civilization. These laws have been found workable in all times and places, and they can be applied successfully today to help you achieve wealth and freedom. Go to 21prosperitylaws.com and download your free 21 Laws of Financial Prosperity Action Guide today. Do not wait. That's 21prosperitylaws.com.
Welcome back to the Financial Power Hour with Christopher Music, online at pchristophermusic.com.
Well, welcome everyone. This is Christopher Music, and I'd like to welcome you to the Financial Power Hour. Now, we're going to have a very special guest with us today. He is called the IT Guru, and his name is Mr. Joseph Axne. Now, Joseph started as a desktop technician back in the early 90s and quickly earned the responsibility to oversee the nationwide 911 dispatch and ambulatory dispatch systems, plus the internal billing department paperless workflow systems. These systems required extremely important security and data protection measures to assure patient data stayed secure and safe. In 2005, he started the IT Guru LLC to assist small and medium businesses in the Denver metro area with their IT support needs, in addition to providing clients with a business continuity and disaster recovery solution. This, of course, assured the business owner's intellectual property was protected against the consistent threats that exist within any technical environment. With his 20-plus years of experience in IT systems and support services, Joseph is extremely active in the IT management community. He attends related trade shows and conferences to assure his business stays up on the latest technology trends and solutions, and he takes time to train local consultants in the Denver area on the best practices for IT management and systems maintenance. I'm very pleased to welcome information technology expert Joseph Axne.
Hey, thanks for having me on your show.
Yeah, man. So, you and I got a chance to meet at a conference, and you talked about some really cool perspectives that you had on information technology. But before we get into those, tell our listeners today your story about how you started in the IT business and how the IT guru became your trademark.
Sure. So, yeah, it started obviously in the pre-Y2K days, yep, in the 90s. Building systems, taking them apart, putting them back together. So it was kind of a hobby, right? Kind of passed down to me through the genes of my family. My grandfather and people on my mom's side of the family were always the same way, right? So one of my relatives even took apart like a television, completely took it apart, put it back together. So the scenario really when I got into this business was I went to Circuit City, bought a $2,000 computer. And remember my wife coming into the office and seeing the thing in pieces. She was saying to herself, "What are you doing? We just bought that computer." And, I was trying to figure it out, right? Trying to unravel what was inside so I kind of understood kind of everything that was going in. So that's kind of got my start. The IT guru trademark, though, the guru really stands for educator. And I felt it was a good name to have because we really want to educate people on the best way to use technology or best practices and educate them every single day and try to learn ourselves every day something new because it's constantly changing. So that's kind of how the guru aspect came into it.
Well, yeah, excellent. Now, of course, I've been getting your stuff sent to me for quite a while now. And, one of the ideas that struck me most when you and I were chatting was the idea that you had come up with standards in information technology. Can you just briefly touch on that?
Sure. Yeah. So, the standards are important. Best practices is another way of saying it, right? So, through experience, what we find is that, there are certain standards that if you have deployed, it's just, makes the environment run so much more efficiently and more effectively and more securely.
Okay, good. So obviously, for a standard, we have to get the ideal concept of what would be perfect operation. And then, of course, we have to then build the system to approximate that ideal situation. So in getting to that, I like information technology. I can't say I love it because I don't understand it as well, being a financial guy. But really, how important is setting up the correct technology in a business really all at once as opposed to the piecemeal or piece-by-piece method?
Sure. So, setting up technology correctly the first time is kind of what we say, right? So setting up correctly the first time is what we recommend versus, maybe deploying a solution and then having to go back and reproduce the efforts of redeploying because it didn't get implemented the correct time, correctly the first time. So doing it correct out the gate so it doesn't have to get redone. But set up technology, solutions to support a business goal and the business growth plans is important. So if you're, if your business plans to grow significantly over a 2 to 5 year span, then having a solution put in place that allows you to scale with minimal effort is probably going to be important, right? So sometimes investing now so you can get that return on investment when the planned growth occurs, but assuring you're setting up the technology aligns the best practices and those specific IT standards for your industry, for your particular industry, is extremely important.
So give me an example of a client that you've worked with that, or clients that you've worked with where one would try to piecemeal it and one actually looked at the solution and what the results were. Can you do that?
Yeah, so an example for, we met at a veterinary conference, right, Christopher? So when mm-hmm. we were talking, that's a niche that we go after, right? We help the veterinary clinics and hospitals. And what we see in there is, there's sometimes they'll take an approach of, piecemealing that solution, maybe going with a cheaper option. So maybe an example would be a firewall for a business. So firewall is basically, how you're going to get in and out of, back and forth through the internet, right? So one of the examples of piecemealing maybe is you go down to Best Buy as a business and go buy a firewall from Best Buy and slap it in. Yeah, is it going to work? But is it really going to provide you the level of protection that your business needs, right? So we call that consumer class, meaning, it's great to run that type of technology from home, but, in a business, you really want business class hardware. So it is a little bit more expensive, a little bit more initial investment, but it has a lot more bells and whistles that are there to protect that environment, you know, long term, like deep packet inspection of each and every packet that's coming in and out of that network, you know, a security subscription piece of software that is watching every single packet and all the threats that are out there today to kind of block that versus allowing everything in and out, if that makes any sense.
Well, sure. Yeah. So I guess the moral of the story here is, you know, when you try to piecemeal it, which I watch so many business owners do to try to, quote unquote, cut costs. And, you know, so you try to piecemeal it, you end up getting, I guess it would be fair to say, like a mishmash of different pieces that don't necessarily work together or work for the goals versus a whole package deal where it's all put together in one fell swoop that can be expanded upon or scaled up as the business grows. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and it's, you know, again, back to, you know, Best Buy, and I'm not, you know, they have good technology. It's good stuff that you can buy from your home and get your internet access and such, but is it really relevant to the business with all the security threats out there? So you really need to have business class type of hardware that really is going to, you know, provide an extra level of security and as well as protection and peace of mind. So again, initial investment's a little bit higher, but the return on investment is a more secure and stable environment, right?
Yeah, exactly. And just you know, one more point, it kind of hits me here. Is, you know, I'm in a very highly regulated industry. You know, the financial industry is probably one of the most regulated, and we have to have a very well thought out disaster recovery program. You know, yep. just for client data, and it's amazing what we have to go through to make sure that we're compliant with that. So I personally have the reality of how important that is. Okay, well, then the next question I really have for you then is, of course, the business owner, and those of you listening today, you know, you can think, well, I can do this myself. And then there's the option of getting a real professional to lay out a system for you and help implement it. Joseph, why don't you kind of explain to me what your viewpoint is on the two options?
Sure. You know, we get that question, right, quite often, and it's, and the scenario I like to use is like much of an approach that I take to completing my taxes, right? I could do the taxes myself. I can, you know, invest the time and the resources needed to get it done, and but it's going to be extreme, right? And most likely I'm going to make a mistake, right? Because I don't know tax law, right? I can learn. I could try it, but it could end up costing me more than if I just hired a CPA. Right? Mm-hmm. So in IT, mistakes could cost a business in many different ways. Major downtime, losses of important data, could be regulatory commission type of things where you're not in line with, you know, like you're saying, with the financial sector, that you have to have certain things in place, and if you don't, you can get fined for that. So the time investment needed to do it yourself model is very similar to me trying to do my own taxes. So like I learned, I'm not a tax expert. I hired a consultant to assist me to ensure the taxes are done, and they know it. So like sales tax, oh, what a mess that is here in Denver. You know, we have to basically pay sales tax for each and every city I send a piece of hardware to. It's a nightmare. So I rely on an expert, you know, in the end of the day, a consultant to help me focus on completing that, and I'm focused on more important things like business growth and strategy.
Well, of course, you know, it's I think it goes with anything with a service related economy that we have, is either we can take the time to become, you know, have a specialized knowledge to figure it out ourselves, or we can hire that specialized knowledge. And I think that probably leaves us into our next question here, where, you know, how can a business owner really tell the difference from amateurs in this area? Because you and I both know that there's quite a few around, and professionals.
Right. Yeah, we call it, you know, there's a lot of people hanging the shingle out there today saying they're an IT consultant, right? But, you know, today's good IT companies that are out there are offering, you know, that we're seeing out there, they're offering some type of managed plan, meaning they want to help you more than just on a time and material basis. I mean, come in, like if it's broke, I'll come fix it model, right? That model is kind of, you know, behind the times. So an example, say you have an issue and you hire a tech by the hour to come assist. You know, one would hope that he or she could come out and fix the root cause, but is that really in their best interest to do that? Is that really what they're there to do? They're there to fix the issue. So like the internet, right? We were talking about it. The internet's broke. So tech comes out, reboots the router, gets you back up and running, closes the ticket or closes and says, you know, thank you, charges you an hour. But it keeps happening over and over. You know, well, they get paid each and every time that you have that issue. So a little bit of conflict of interest there, right? So in a managed plan where the IT folks are going, the goal is to assure things like this just don't occur, because good IT companies or good IT people will recognize and realize that the root cause needs to be fixed, so they don't continue to get calls on, hey, the internet keeps going out. They get to the point where, no, we have you got a bad modem. We need to talk to the internet service provider and say, hey, get this resolved, or the signal strength's not good enough coming into your building, and so that's really why you're having this problem. So let's get that fixed. So another thing they should have is really 5+ years of experience, right? They shouldn't be green, is what we call it, right? So, or learning on your dime. So be careful hiring somebody that's kind of out and doesn't have a lot of experience, because they're probably going to be learning on your dime and more, the even scenarios we've seen is they've actually used businesses as their lab to figure out how technology will work, and that can get really dangerous for these small businesses, right? So, having somebody with years of experience, somebody that's been around the block, someone that knows the trends and stays on top of, the technology trends, that's really what you're looking for. You're looking for somebody that's not real green, not just coming out of college, that hasn't just hung their shingle and started working in the space, right? You need somebody that's been established and been around.
What about certifications?
Certifications, yeah, they used to be really important in the past, right? So, there's Microsoft certifications. So, yeah, there's vendor-specific certifications. That can be helpful, right? Do they have, certain, Microsoft cert? Maybe you're looking at Office 365. Do they have certification in that particular? But a lot of certifications are going to, the certification boards. The biggest certification out there today that we look for in techs that we hire today is really through a company called CompTIA. CompTIA is based out of Chicago, and they're based basically A-plus and Network Plus. They should have that backbone, right, at least, right? A-plus and Network Plus proves that they have some sort of, competency. But, again, it goes back to real-world experience and what you mentioned, the lessons of hard knocks, right, that knowing that, yeah, certification is important, but once you step out in the real world and understand how things really work, that's really a good understanding of how to experience, right, is what I'm trying to say there.
Yeah, and I have lived that experience. Example is, I hired an IT folks to come out and I paid for them to learn because we had to go back and do it all over again. And it's one of those hard knocks experiences because, I thought I got a deal. And once it got all done, we had to replace some equipment and hire someone else to come in and do it all over again for a fee. So I understand how important it is to get it right the first time. And as a business owner, of course, you want to have high predictability and assured result when you do hire somebody. So we're going to take a little break now for the weather and traffic update. And up next, we're going to continue to talk with the IT guru, Joseph Axne. And we're going to ask him more questions about the basic standard technology every business should have set up. We're going to be talking about standards we have in place, the cloud, and all kinds of other things. You're definitely not going to want to miss it. We'll be right back. Why do we go into business for ourselves? What's the payoff of hard work and self-sacrifice? Hopefully, you've answered by saying your dream was to be debt-free and financially wealthy. If not, then something is missing. It's been said that you can't manage what you can't measure, and that's certainly true in business and in your financial life. I'm Christopher Music, and I want to invite you to an online video called The 17 Statistical Measurements of the Private Practice Millionaire. Learn how to define financial power and how to correctly and objectively measure when it is achieved. Why using current mainstream metrics
steps are incomplete, creating an apparency of financial success while actually creating financial duress. And how mastering the ability to measure financial success will help you stay in control so that you can achieve financial power. Visit financialpowerstatistics.com and watch the 17 statistical measurements of the Private Practice Millionaire video. That's financialpowerstatistics.com.
This is the Financial Power Hour with Prosperity Coach Christopher Music. Make contact at 727-588-1540. And now, here's Christopher Music.
Well, hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Financial Power Hour here on AM 1380, The Biz. I'm your host, Christopher Music, and I am the creator of the Private Practice Millionaire, which you can contact online at www.privatepracticemillionaire.com. It is a website for professionals to get financial basics, financial wisdom on how to have a great experience in your professional life. And we're here talking with information technology expert, Mr. Joseph Axne, the founder of IT Guru. And we're talking about building IT systems in your business for success. So, Joseph, thanks again so much for being on the show.
Great. Yeah, I'm having a great time. Thank you.
That's great, man. So, we talked about the importance of not trying to set up your own IT and not paying so much for amateurs. Now, let's talk about what standards need to be in place in order to have everything running smoothly in a business. So walk us through that.
Sure. Yeah, we've grouped our standards down kind of the following. I'll just kind of lay out the list. So really it comes down to power management, right? Without power, you're not going to get anywhere, right, with technology. Mm-hmm. Network management, meaning, you know, how are you communicating internally with, you know, systems, internet, service provider, right, your ISP, how are you getting to the internet, server management if you have internal or even if you have cloud-based servers, right, desktop management, meaning your laptops, desktops, they still have to be managed, right, they still have to be protected, your printers and your scanners, backups and disaster recovery, email, and then we've got remote management of the environment, just meaning, you know, overseeing and making sure that things are running, you know, successfully. And finally, you know, documentation, right? The dreaded documentation that typically nobody has.
Well, that's a lot.
It is.
That is a lot. So why don't you give me, you know, for the folks listening today who are not information technology experts, so give us like the fourth grade English version of what a basic system would cover for, say, you know, a small professional practice or a small business.
Right. Typically, you're going to have, you know, a lot of things are drifting to the cloud, right? So, you know, server management is starting to go away, meaning that your applications are starting to run in, you know, browser-based type of technology, Chrome, Internet Explorer, whatever you use to get to the internet. A lot of times your applications are your customer relationship management system maybe is housed in there. So you know, a typical small office, you know, 5 PCs, maybe a small server, you know, and you know, some good type of internet connectivity to get you out and back and forth. And obviously on the network management side, we talked about firewalls earlier, some type of business class device to get you in and out. As far as desktop wise, we recommend, again, you know, we keep using that word business class as a reason. There's a business class and there's a consumer class, right? You can go down to Office Depot, Staples, Best Buy, and buy a computer off the shelf. We call those consumer class machines. We call those, you know, 1 year machines versus a business class, you know, desktop is more of a 3 or 5 year machine. A business class laptop is more of a 1 to 3 year machine. You know, backups, like I said, backups and disaster recovery, just making sure it's not just about backups, but about how you're going to recover in the environment. So is that helpful?
It is. And for those of you listening who are getting caught up in some terminology here, let me see if I can take a stab at this as a non-information technology professional. So, Joe, we have the desktop computer, which is that little box on your desk there that has some circuit boards in it. And you got a monitor there, like a TV thing that you're looking at stuff. And then you have this thing called a server, which is a big computer inside your building that is basically spreading out the data between all the different desktops. And then we have this thing called the cloud, which is a big computer somewhere else.
Right.
It could be out in the middle of Nevada, for all we know, or in Dubai. But there's a big computer somewhere that that we're renting space on to basically run our business. And, of course, those big computers have big backup computers in other parts of the world. And so that's called, quote unquote, the cloud. And I think people get really like glazy-eyed when we start using this terminology, because really it's just basically computers all connecting.
We like to call it the fog, right?
The fog. The fog and the cloud.
It is. It's just more of a fog than it is a cloud. It doesn't really give you any clear vision. And every you know, we have so many different terminologies based on that term itself, right? Every Microsoft cloud is different than Oracle's cloud, then it's different than Amazon's cloud, right? So just think about it. The cloud is really interconnectivity of all these systems, all connected via the internet. That's really what it comes down to, whether it's a software as a service type of piece of software that's running in the browser, or if it's a actual server that's hosted in a co-location facility, meaning it's a hardened, you know, building that, you know, controls in place so nobody can just walk in. But you know, that's just what the cloud really is.
And when you're on your phone, you're in the cloud.
Yeah, nowadays.
The cloud.
Yeah, your phone's smarter than the computers we had, you know, 10 years ago at this point.
It's amazing. It's amazing how fast this stuff moves, and how these applications or these different programs we can use to really create a lot of productivity. It's amazing how important this information technology is. So now, I know you do presentations at industry conferences on, quote unquote, getting cloud ready. Now, what does that really mean? And what is the biggest issue you see when a business is not cloud ready, and how can they be sure they are?
Yeah, I think the biggest issue we see is, you know, we review the not really understanding how important a layered approach to security is, meaning that they feel like, oh, I've got this out in the cloud. I don't need to protect my laptop now. I don't need, you know, this other stuff. It's, you know, it's not like the mainframe days. You know, mainframe days was you had a server and you had this weird green screen thing that you connected, you know, to the server in the back end, and everything that you did on that little green screen, that was a real dumb device. Now these devices, like we talked about, your smartphone, right? Your computer is smarter. It allows you to do multiple things, right? You can get to that app, but you can also go browse and, you know, buy something online, and but that can get you in trouble, right? So you have to have that security in place, still has to be there, right? It has to be protected. So you have to have two or three different type of systems protecting a business, not just one solution. That's the biggest thing we see with the threats and the internet out there that are real, that you have to plan for, and to really become cloud ready is to assure that you have this, because your cloud, you're going to connect, it's going to be connected to the internet, right? So security's always been an issue. When I went to college, it wasn't the internet. The internet was just starting, right? And but when I went to the library and put a floppy disk in the library computer, if I came back, put that in my home computer, I may get a virus. And it was called, you know, we call that sneaker net, right? You're carrying that from one. But now with the internet, it's so much more prevalent, so much more faster, so much more easier for people to try to attack you and to get in and really get to your data or destroy your data. It's amazing.
It's almost every day that we see something, some quote-unquote breach that occurs. And, you know, I know in my business, we have to have, you know, every single employee here has to have certain protocols on password protection, on, you know, shutting down the computers, all these things that we follow every single day. And I think my main concern about small business owners is that we're so busy trying to do marketing and sales and delivery and all these other functions that we tend to get a little lazy or a little, you know, slipshod about these security protocols. What would your comment be about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. You know, you still need the same security protocols that these enterprises are deploying. That goes back to standards, right? So that's a standard that we've developed that says, no, you know, we need password complexity. You need it to change every so often. And you know, with the small business, so yeah, in financial sector, if you're a financial sector, you're required to do things on a certain time frame. What we're doing with small business is saying, here's our recommendation, right? And so maybe it's not every 90 days for this, but at least let's get it to every every 6 months at least, right? So let's change it up and let's educate you of, let's not use the same password across your email system and your, you know, to log into Amazon, to log into your CRM system, and maybe get a password type of vault that you know, because it's almost impossible to remember all these passwords nowadays. We even have our own vault that we have to manage all of our client passwords because we want them all different. We can't. It's just too risky out there today.
Yeah, that's it. Is amazing how much sensitive data can become when it comes to accessing all that information. So, getting to the IT standards again, what is the single most important IT standard that someone should be reviewing and assuring that it's set up correctly?
Right. So the single most important one is backup and disaster recovery, right? Without a backup plan, without a recovery plan, you're dead in the water, right? So that's the single most important thing that anybody that's listening here should be reviewing and assuring they have not only the ability to back up, but to recover quickly, right? So data loss, is proven to destroy a business, right? In fact, Gartner says only about 6% of the companies that survive longer than they'll survive longer than 2 years if after losing a major catastrophe, right? So they are only going to be in business another 2 years if they completely get wiped out. So, so you got to review how often are you backing up, right? You need to review and assure that what important data is protected, right? Go get confirmation that you'd be surprised. We walked into clients, we said, hey, these are the systems that we're seeing backed up, but we notice you have these other systems too. You're not backing those up. Are those important to you? Like, yeah, they're absolutely important to us. We need to make sure that those are backed up as well, right? So it's not it's what you're protecting. Make sure it is protected. Reviewing how quickly you can recover in case of disaster. There are solutions out there that the business is really dependent on technology. You can get a business back up and running in approximately an hour or less now with solutions out there. If that's important to you, we ask that question, right? Not how often are you backing up is one question, and what we recommend is at least hourly throughout a production day on any type of systems. And typically we see out there people are more back to that every day or every week type of scenario, but there's a lot of changes going on in the environment, like a CPA firm per se, right? They may be working on taxes all the way throughout the day. If they have to reproduce a whole day's worth of work during their busy season, that's going to crush them. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, having a good, recovery, option that is backing up every hour. And then, the other one we see is on-site versus off-site backups. Yeah, it's good to have on-site backups, but you got to have off-site. And more importantly, off-site that requires no manual intervention, right? Not something that you're taking, unplugging from the computer and putting in your car and driving it home, because human intervention side of things, that just breaks. People just forget to do it. So it needs to be a system that will automatically, with today's internet speeds, you can do this. You can get your data offsite in a reasonable time frame. And we're seeing offsite replication incur most of our clients in an hourly basis. Or even an example, there was a friend of mine that was actually overseeing a company that was a they got broken into. The business got broken into. They stole all the computers, and guess what? Including the backups. So they took it. So they didn't have a cloud-based, scenario. In this case, they got lucky. There was one other backup that was hidden in the closet. They got lucky, right? And it was just by chance that they didn't find it, right? And so the good news is a company was able to at least roll back a week, but it was hard for them, right? It really took them down.
Yeah, it's amazing how quickly things can turn on a dime if we don't have that backup. I certainly have had my experience and being back up in no time because we have the correct backups in place. So, anyway, we're going to take a quick break. And up next, we're going to be wrapping up our interview with our very special guest, the IT guru. And we're going to ask him a few more IT tips and how to build manageable technology systems in your business. Stay tuned. If you're a business owner, ask yourself this question. Do you know how to avoid the common money mistakes slowing down operations and growth? Are you confident with great certainty that you're in control of all financial decisions? Are you running your business with the know-how to achieve financial prosperity? So what is financial prosperity, and how do you really know if you're there? Your first clue that you're not is spending more time dealing with financial worries than growing your business.
I'm Christopher Music, and I have a solution for you. I have researched and codified 21 laws of financial prosperity for private practice owners from a study of 5,000 years of civilization. These laws have been found workable in all times and places, and they can be applied successfully today to help you achieve wealth and freedom. Go to 21prosperitylaws.com and download your free 21 Laws of Financial Prosperity Action Guide today. Do not wait. That's 21prosperitylaws.com.
Welcome back to the Financial Power Hour with Christopher Music, online at pchristophermusic.com.
All right. Well, welcome back, everyone. I'm your host, Christopher Music, and you're listening to the Financial Power Hour here on AM 1380, The Biz. We have our superstar guest expert, Mr. Joseph Exney, the IT guru, and he's sharing his knowledge and experience regarding information technology and how to incorporate these systems into your business. So, Joe, I'd like to talk now about security and protection. You know, that's a hot topic. And how does a person or a company stay protected in today's world? And what security protocol standards should we actually have in place?
Right. So this is a consistently changing thing, right? Security protocol standards. What I discussed today may not be good enough for tomorrow because the bad guys are always trying to figure out ways around it, right? So, but as of today, the biggest single threat that we're seeing out there infecting businesses is a thing called ransomware. So this is basically where the bad guys get into your system. They encrypt important data and make you pay a ransom to get your data back. So there's an example of a major hospital that had to pay $17,000 to recover their data. So how are we stopping this? Well, we discussed on this before. It's through a layered approach, right, of security. So deploying multiple solutions to assist stopping these threats. Because this is even in our industry, this is a hot topic right now with IT professionals that I'm actually training other IT folks on is how to stop this thing, right? So number one, if you're using email, which everybody is most likely, right, stop allowing .zip attachments through. You know, get off of zips, get off of slinging, you know, executable files back and forth via email. Do not allow those type of attachment types, right? That's the single issue that's, you know, I just read online today that's the big one. That's how they're getting in. Firewall, we talked about this. Business class, having a subscription service with it so that the threats are stopped there at the gremlins at the gateway, right, we call it. Having an antivirus and a malware solution that's loaded on each and every computer that touches your business network. If you have a server, one of the things that we're deploying is a solution that looks for specific threats. So if a ransomware attack starts to occur, I've got an engineer who's looking for file types. So, you know, dot encryption or whatever the dot, you know, extension. He's got a whole laundry list of like standards of file extensions that we look for. If those things show up, shut the shares off. It shuts the server shares off, stops that propagation of the infection right away. Web protection. So deploying some type of web protection for the office, especially for laptops that are leaving your office, right? Where we partner with a company called OpenDNS. They're owned by Cisco now, right? And they assist us with really stopping these threats from calling home. So when the encryption, the ransomware, right, it calls home to get the encryption keys, OpenDNS stops that call home and stops that threat and alerts you and you know, it prevents it from propagating. But then all the other stuff, right? You know, how does this stuff come in? It's coming in through unpatched systems. So it doesn't matter if you're Microsoft or Apple, make sure it's patched, right? Third-party programs like Adobe Reader, Adobe Acrobat, Flash, Java, Silverlight, Firefox, Chrome, all those third-party applications that talk, they have vulnerabilities and threats that allow things through. So you got to make sure that those are protected. You got to have software and systems that aren't supported anymore, like QuickTime. QuickTime is not supported. It's got to go. If you have QuickTime loaded on your system, get it uninstalled. It's not supported. It's got vulnerabilities, and it's not going to be patched. Windows XP. You know, that's not, it's been, you know, end of life since April 4th of 2014. It's amazing we still see it out there, right? It's got to go. Older version of Internet Explorer is another example. So all this has to be maintained, monitored, update, protection has to be in place. Latest updates to protect against, you know, having all these system threats, you know, stopped. So, and finally, you got to have a good backup. We talked about it already, but, you know, no matter what you do, these threats can still come in. They're trying to figure out a way. So having a backup system that can't get infected by this ransomware, so like that example of that hospital that had to pay $17,000, well, guess why? Because their backups got infected with the same ransomware. So it's got to be a backup that's not directly attached to servers anymore. So that's kind of the long-winded answer, but that's what it takes to stop this ransomware today.
Sounds like a constant battle, man.
And it's constantly changing the landscape, like I said. You know, what I say today, you know, that's why these standards are always kind of drifting and changing, and you got to stay on top of it to really understand what's happening now. So,
jeez. Well, I'm glad you're doing it, because that's not something that I find particularly gripping, being a financial guy and an artist. It's but it's so necessary. In today's environment, I find, you know, we deal with a lot of small business owners, and I find it amazing sometimes on how antiquated some of the IT is in a business, and not only is it vulnerable, but just the inefficiency of, you know, the data in serving their clients and customers. It just is amazing to me how much money is really lost just by not keeping up with the correct technology.
Yeah, we call it like the foundation of a house, right? So
yeah.
With the correct IT foundation aligned to the right standards, you're going to have a great foundation to build a house on, right? And a house is your business, so that you can build those processes, because each and every business is going to be a little different. But without a proper foundation, you know, a cracked foundation, a one that's not properly laid in, you're going to have cracked windows. Plumbing's not going to work. You know, you're going to, you know, the walls are going to crack. All this stuff, right, is going to be broken. So that foundation really has to be there and support that business.
Well, good. So as a final question, you know, can you briefly go into how you help a business to determine their IT needs and what standards you recommend they put in place, just as an elementary level?
Yeah, so we talked about those standards before. So we go in and we provide assessments for business to kind of align them and assure that they align to these standards, so they have the proper foundation to run off of. So, you know, we have, you know, simple yes no questions that we go through with the client to understand whether there's some hot spots, you know, and it's more like a gap analysis to figure out, you know, where are some of their risks, right? And if there's some, you know, bleeding or hemorrhaging, and, you know, maybe we got to stop that right away. But then, you know, help them understand, and that provides a you know, kind of a roadmap or a strategy to kind of shoot towards. So not everybody's going to be out there in a perfect, you know, perfect setup or scenario, but it's always the ideal dream, where we called it Project Utopia. We whiteboarded what a perfect environment would look like. And then how do we align that? So we have the questions we ask on, you know, do you have a proper power management system, meaning do you have some type of battery backup or possible generator that you need? And it all depends on, you know, the business. So we help them kind of just guide them through some, you know, simple yes-no questions to understand, you know, where are the gaps and how do we strategize to fill those gaps.
All right. Well, you know, that's all we have time for today, unfortunately. And I'd like to thank you for spending so much time with us and sharing your expertise. But before you go, tell us how our listeners can get a hold of you. And, you know, if you have a consultation or some kind of a free offer, please let them know about that as well.
Sure. So, yeah, check us out on the internet. We're www.it-guru.com. So it-guru.com. Or feel free to look me up on LinkedIn. It's Joseph Axney. It's AX, N as in Nancy, E as in Edward. So if any listeners are wanting assistance, we're giving away a free review of any one of those standards I listed out. So if you're having a problem or you want to really look at a standard, fill out the contact us form on the website. I'll personally be reaching out to you and have a discussion with you of how you align in one particular standard, so you can kind of get an understanding of how we work and potentially unveil or give some insight into you, maybe some issues that you may have of misalignment.
Great. Well, Joseph, thanks again so much for being here. You are a rock star, and I'm sure we'll see you next time.
Chris, I appreciate it. Christopher, thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. So, folks, you know, IT is so important, and making investment into your business to speed up the amount of communication you have with your folks is so incredibly important. It will be
affluent for your business if you really get this under your belt. I invite you to visit my website at www.pchristophermusic.com and download the 21 Laws of Prosperity for Private Practice Owners. These are the 21 laws that have always worked to create wealth for you and your family. And for past episodes of my show, go to financialpowerhour.com. That's financialpowerhour.com and download many different episodes. We'll see you next time on the Financial Power Hour.
You've been listening to the Financial Power Hour. For more information on prosperity principles and how to apply them to your life and your business, visit Christopher's personal website at pchristophermusic.com or connect with him on Facebook at facebook.com/pchristophermusicauthor. You may also call Christopher's office at 727-588-1540 to request more information or arrange for him to be a guest speaker at your next event. That's 727-588-1540 or visit pchristophermusic.com.